Imagine you're sitting across from a potential client. Instead of opening a slide deck, you just say, "Tell me the exact application you need," and then you start building it.
A fully customized working version of that app.
Live, right in front of them. Just by speaking your idea or showing a picture of a design you like.
That's the moment, right? That fundamentally changes everything. We are, I think, firmly in the era of what people are calling vibe coding.
Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're going beyond the flashy demos of Gemini 3.0 Pro in AI Studio. Our mission is to uncover the power user techniques, the secret sauce that actually makes this kind of rapid development work in the real world.
Yeah, because we're focusing on the inputs. It's not just about the model's power, it's about the strategy you use to talk to it. We're going to look at some counterintuitive ways to prompt it, how to clone existing UIs, and maybe most importantly, how to troubleshoot when you hit that dreaded white screen of death.
We want you to walk away from this really understanding the unfair advantage these new methods provide. Okay, let's get into it.
So when we start working with these big models, I think our instinct is to be a perfect curator of information.
Right. We assume brevity and clarity are everything.
Exactly. And the most common mistake, especially for people who are used to older models, is this urge to pre-summarize. You try to clean it all up, strip away what you think is just noise before you feed it to the AI.
But the research on this is showing something really interesting. That assumption that summarizing is good is actually the critical mistake with Gemini 3.0 Pro.
Yeah, the model just performs so much better when you give it the entire raw context. Think of it like a detective. You don't give the detective a two-sentence summary of the crime scene.
You give them the whole messy stack of reports, the photos, the transcripts.
You let them find the relevant signal and all that noise. And the model is incredibly good at doing just that.
And they're not subtle about this. The material actually encourages just hitting Control plus A on a whole web page, pasting everything, navigation menus, footers, privacy policy text, and just letting the model figure out what's important.
Because all that noise actually contains metadata. It contains implicit cues. A human summary might strip away the document's hierarchy, but that raw text preserves it. It helps the model understand design constraints, not just the content itself.
So I should almost deliberately pollute the input with data, I think is unnecessary. It feels like we're shifting the burden of filtering from me to the AI.
That's it. That is the key unlock. And once you have that initial version, there's this other technique they call the Add5 Features Loop. It's wonderfully simple.
I like this because it forces you out of your own narrow thinking. Instead of brainstorming for hours, you just prompt it, add in five additional features to this application.
And instantly, the AI has to act like a proactive product manager. It starts suggesting capabilities you might have never even considered. It's brilliant.
But doesn't that risk, instant feature creep? You could end up with a really bloated prototype.
Oh, absolutely. That's the risk. But you have to treat it as a filtering step, not a mandate. You might get three totally useless ideas, a nonsensical button, but one or two of them could be a breakthrough that solves a problem you hadn't even thought of yet.
So, if the model is so smart, why does giving it that raw, messy context work better than a nice, clean summary?
Because raw context provides the subtle underlying nuance necessary for accurate feature and design extraction.
Okay, so let's move from text input to visual language. Because the fastest developers aren't just describing what they want anymore, they're showing it.
And this is where the power really accelerates. The whole screenshot plus clone plus modify workflow is just a complete game changer for iteration and, frankly, for competitive analysis.
Think about the use cases here. You could screenshot a competitor's complex dashboard and, in seconds, have a structured clone of it in your own code base, ready to adapt.
Or you could take a UI that works well, say for logistics tracking, and instantly specialize it for a different industry, like pharmaceutical delivery, just by adapting that cloned UI.
Whoa. Just imagine scaling product iteration by instantly cloning and adapting UIs like that in seconds. It just radically changes the timeline for getting into a new market.
And when you do run into problems, the visual approach is still the fastest fix. I mean, we've all been there, trying to debug a layout with just text prompts.
Oh, prompt drift is the absolute worst. You write, "The button in the top right is misaligned," and the AI moves some random button in the footer instead.
I still wrestle with prompt drift myself when I try to describe layout errors without the annotation tool. It's just too abstract sometimes.
But the breakthrough is using the annotation tool. You just draw a box around the problem, the button, the weird table, and then add a little text note.
That combination of visual anchor and specific text just accelerates the fix like nothing else. It's a spatial prompt, right? It tells the AI exactly where to look.
This simple approach also works when the app just completely breaks. You get that white screen or a button does nothing. You don't need to try and debug the code.
No complex instructions. You just use simple observational language. You just say, the screen is white and blank, or this button doesn't work. And that simple description helps Gemini diagnose and fix the underlying issue.
And what about for really detailed feature requests, the kind where you have to dump a few paragraphs of requirements?
For that, they strongly recommend voice input. It's faster, it's often clearer, and AI Studio cleans up the transcript for you. It pulls out all the ums and gives the model a clean request based on your natural speech.
So with all this visual power, what really sets Gemini 3.0's screenshot cloning apart from other tools out there?
The key difference is its high fidelity in capturing design aesthetic and layout nuance.
All right, let's talk reality for a second. If you're going to use this, you have to understand the failure modes, because it's not going to work perfectly on the first try.
No. And the sources point out two really common issues. The first is like a misplaced and non-functioning button. In their example, a generate insights button showed up on a connection request form, just totally useless and in the wrong spot.
And the fix, again, was the annotation feature. Box the area, type the problem, this button doesn't work and seems out of place. And Gemini fixes the function and the placement, it's fixing the vibe.
The second one, and probably the most common, is that white screen failure. You generate your brilliant idea, the screen is blank, and you just lose all that momentum.
Ah, the white screen, the coder's equivalent of a dead end.
Well, that failure usually happens because the model, working inside AI Studio, sometimes forgets specific formatting requirements. Like, it might forget to generate the index.html file that the environment needs to actually render anything.
That's a great detail. So it knows how to build the app, but it forgets the wrapper that the browser needs to show it.
Exactly. It's used to building unconstrained software. But the fix is so simple, it's almost funny. You just state what you see. I don't see anything. The screen is white and blank. The advice is to just persevere. You're usually one prompt away from fixing it.
And if we look at the competitive landscape, the numbers seem to back this up. Gemini 3.0 Pro is at the top of the Web Dev Arena leaderboard with a score of 1487 ELO.
So what gives it that edge beyond just raw intelligence? I think it comes down to integration and pricing.
Let's unpack that. First, the pricing.
It's currently lower than competitors like GPT 4.5 Pro or Claude 4.5. And crucially, the free tier is really generous for prototyping. So you can iterate and experiment a ton before you even have to think about a budget.
And then there's the native Google integration that feels huge for the developer experience.
Massive. It means no fiddling with API keys or configuring external services. It just works. It connects directly to Google's model infrastructure.
But maybe the most powerful difference is the Google search grounding.
That is the ultimate differentiator, yeah. It means the apps you're building aren't just relying on static training data from a year or two ago. They can pull in real-time data from Google search.
So for the developer building a tool or a client demo, what's the practical benefit of having that Google search grounding right there in the coding environment?
It means apps can incorporate current, real-time information instead of relying only on static training data.
So how are people actually using this tool right now in the wild?
Well, two main use cases are popping up. The first is how they use it internally at Google, which is a really fascinating look at the future of product development. They use it for rapid prototyping and just internal ideation.
So they're not just building external products, they're screenshotting the AI Studio UI itself to visualize changes or feature additions before any engineering time is spent.
Exactly. It creates this super fast flywheel. Visualize a feature, test a UI variation, generate a mockup for a stakeholder, all without writing a line of production code. It just speeds things up enormously.
But that second use case, the customer meeting we talked about at the start, that feels like the most disruptive one.
Oh, for sure. The anecdote they share is about a sales call with a clothing brand. The client starts talking about wanting a virtual try-on app, and the developer is literally building the working mock-up of it live while they're talking.
You're not selling potential with a PowerPoint anymore. You are demonstrating a working product customized to their needs before a contract is even on the table. We're seeing people build things like talent matching platforms, lead qualification apps, branded games. All of it is achievable.
That said, we do have to be really honest about the limitations. We're still talking about prototype grade technology here. This is not some magic bullet for enterprise deployment.
The sources are very clear on that. The visual cloning is impressive, but it can miss subtle design details. The UIs are functional, which is great, but they're not always pixel perfect.
And critically, this is not suitable for enterprise production needs. It struggles with complex state management, like sophisticated database interactions or user authentication.
Right. And you're definitely not going to rely on vibe-coded output for security audits or the kind of performance optimization a massive app needs. This generates MVPs, not scaled platforms.
It accelerates the start of the race, not the finish line. It proves the concept so your engineers can confidently start writing the real production code.
So if the product you generate isn't enterprise grade, what is the core essential value you get from building it in AI Studio first?
The value is accelerated ideation, visualization, and rapid proof of concept for specific customer needs.
We started this deep dive promising to uncover that competitive edge, so let's just summarize those core strategies.
First, start with complete messy context. Paste the raw data, don't filter it. Second, use screenshots as your starting point to clone UIs, either for competitor analysis or just rapid iteration.
Third, use that add five features loop to let the AI act as your ideation engine.
And fourth, annotate your visual problems. Show the model the problem, don't just try to describe it abstractly.
And finally, don't give up after that first white screen. Just describe what you see, and you're almost always one prompt away from getting it working.
The success factor here is simple. It's speed and iteration. The winners in this new era are the ones who can build the fastest and show up with working products, not just ideas in a deck.
The era of vibe coding fundamentally changes the competitive landscape. It replaces discussion with demonstrable, working action.
It really requires a shift in mindset, though. You have to be comfortable with the messiness of it all, with the initial failures, knowing that you can just iterate instantly.
So for you listening to this, here's a final thought to consider. What specific niche, internal workflow, or customer-facing demo will you try to build first, using just some raw context in a simple screenshot?
Just go and experiment now. Even if the first few attempts break, that's fine. The critical thing is that your competitors are probably not even trying this yet. Be the first to build something.